Joining us from NRL Roast is our good mate Dean Messiter, who joins us right now, off-season, of course, but rugby league is the gift that keeps on giving here on Drive with Adam and Fletch this afternoon. Thanks to Hyundai, and you can join the show 1300 01 1170 on the Ryko Filters call line. But on the line right now is Dino from NRL Roast. How are you, mate?
Good, lads. Finally got rid of Joel. I see. Great. Best decision you made all year, I think.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dean. Now, what's been making news? I did see this. You threw out a question. Who was the most underrated signing heading into 2022? What did the listeners say, or the viewers?
Yeah, look, there's been a fair few talk, obviously, around like Adam Reynolds and some of the big-name players going to different clubs. But we wanted to find out who we thought was flying under the radar a little bit. And a lot of the fans sort of threw out a few names. Cam McInnes at the Sharks.
Yep.
Like Dale Finucane and Nicho Hynes going there. They've obviously taken a bit of the headline, but he's sort of flown under the radar there. Nick Meaney down at the Storm, depending on how much sort of time he gets on the field, but Bellamy's probably going to get the best out of him. And Jamal Fogarty at the Raiders. I think, you know, under Ricky Stewart, he's probably going to sort of get the best out of him as well. And Jackson Hastings and Oliver Gildard at the Tigers were a few names thrown around as well. So, yeah, we just sort of thought, you know, who are some of the names that are flying under the radar, some of the signings.
Right.
Just, it's been brought to my attention, Dean, you've posted today, and it's a great post. It's the Spotify top songs for 2021. And I don't know if you've got them handy right there. You might have them off the top of your head about your number one song for the year and your top five as well. There's some real classics in this list.
There is. Obviously, I don't think anyone could avoid the Spotify Wrapped on social media today. I think everyone's sort of posting it. But we threw out a few that we thought were our top songs. And number one spot was Old Mate Red Dragon with Am I Ever Going to See the Biff Again?
Mm.
If that's not on your number one, if that's not on your playlist every day, well, you're doing something wrong.
I forgot about number three as well.
Oh, the old Walking in Bankstown by DJ Yella. That's a classic. I don't think you can actually find it. It's very deep in the Spotify playlist, but if you jump on YouTube and look up DJ Yella, you'll be quite surprised at the feedback it gets.
What's number five? Dan Ganane, Goodbye.
He's just yelling out goodbye when someone scores, is it?
The remix.
Oh. It's on repeat for about 9 hours.
So. Oh, right. You haven't got Tommy's on there, Harden Up. That was a bit.
Oh,
yeah, and
just missed it on number six, I think.
And We Are the Broncos. Remember that one? That was a beauty.
Do not remember that one. But I'll search it as soon as I jump off.
Now, what about Matty Burton and Shawnee Johnson and the new kits? Well, the old kits for Shawnee Johnson. They getting around it. The peeps are getting around that.
Mate, the fans absolutely love seeing new players in the fresh kit. They get excited. They get a bit tally around for next year. So, yeah, Matty Burton was obviously the big one for the Bulldogs. I think the Fox turns up next Monday. So that could be a photo of him in at training that'll probably break the internet. And Shawnee Johnson back in the Warriors kit, and he had a bit to say on it, actually, and in an interview about how it feels and how it's special for him. And it feels like he's, you know, going back, and it's a different situation for him. But there's been plenty of players. Adam Reynolds in the Broncos kit, that was pretty big. Even the Broncos let out a press release sort of earlier in the day of that, and sort of prompted everyone to be around, hang around that night for the release. So fans absolutely froth on that.
I'd dare Brendan Smith to wear like Roosters socks or something to the first day of Melbourne Storm training when he gets back.
Just anything, red, white and blue.
Yeah, exactly. What was the take from your point of view about what went down this week?
I think from the fans, a lot of people were, you know, if he was playing for their side, they'd be a little bit angry at that one little sentence that he said. But everyone was in agreement that if you watch it in context, it wasn't as bad as what the media sort of played out to be. You know, there's still people talking about it today, which I think is a little bit ridiculous. He's already come out and apologised and said he, you know, if he had his time back, he'd make a change. But look, it's he said it, and I think the fans are, you know, a little bit 50-50 about it all. But overall, if they watch it all in context, I don't think they'd be too upset by it.
Dana, where do you stand on the signing, you know, where the players can sign from November 1? Are you a fan of that, or do you think it should be maybe after the grand final that some are suggesting?
Look, I'm not... I'd like a trade period around the middle of the year. So there's no contract talk up until June, and then there's like a period of maybe 30 days, and it's like if you sign with the club, you have a chance to get swapped or whatever. It sort of takes it out. But, you know, if a player's thinking about leaving now, there's for the full 12 months of the season, the fans are thinking, well, they could pack up and leave in March, April, May, June, and there's all this, you know, uncertainty. So I would like to see a trade period. I don't particularly like the signing 12 months in advance. And I'm pretty sure that's the fans of the game don't like that either.
Yeah, it's a hard one because if you have it in July, for instance, that's the end of Origin. Do you want the distraction there? The talk won't go away in the lead-up. You take what I follow a lot, obviously, Dean, is the football world, and in Europe they've got those designated transfer windows. Now, there's always speculation going on, but you'll never have ever, I can't remember ever in the history of football, a situation where you've got a player before he goes into a season with a team knowing that he's going to go somewhere else and potentially be like photographed in their club colours. So I think the transfer window has merit. It's just where you place it to maximise the attention on that and not take away attention from the other big stuff that goes in the game.
Just on that, how does it work in the Premier League? They have two windows. There's one in January.
January and off-season, so summer, basically starts at the end of the season, like July 1, which is probably when all the contracts end, up until I think it's like late August. And then there's a January one, which is
essentially... That's the big one.
Well, no, January one is the intriguing one because it's mid-season. The big one is the summer one. That's when all the big deals get done, like when Messi went from Barcelona to PSG. That wasn't so much a transfer, but that was the out of a contract. But, yeah, I think it has merit, Dean. And you want to make a big deal about it because it is a big deal, but you don't want it to detract from some of the other things that goes on. And most of all, I think, seeing a player that you're meant to be cheering that next year, knowing he's going to go somewhere else, it's just flat-out weird.
I think there's a lot of like pros and cons with anything. Like if you're going to do it at the start of the year, middle of the year, end of the year, there's always going to be discrepancies with it. I just think, you know, if we do have that trade period, yeah, there will be still discussions about it, but at least the fans will know that player is not going to, you know, all of a sudden turn up on Monday, say I want to release and be released that Friday and be playing against them the very following week. So I prefer the trade period personally, but yeah, there's a lot of issues with every decision. So
now, Dino, off season or pre season usually equates with players running around with their shirts off, and I'm leading into the hottest man of the year competition. KP is the reigning champion. I want to know, just going by because I'm a fan of his, Ryan Madison. Where did he finish last year in the top?
Put me on the spot there.
I can't remember. He wasn't top 10, was he?
No, he wasn't top 10, but I would say he'd have to be in the top 50. He'd have to be one of the top ones in at the Eels. But yeah, I would have to say top 50. And if you go by his off-season Instagram account, I'm sure he'll climb even higher.
He's number 10 with a bullet. Hang on, Brooksy's shaking his head.
No?
Why? Too much?
He's not hot. He's just...
He's hot.
Got big pythons.
No. He's hot. He's got baby blue eyes.
Warwick Farms.
Big Monty.
It's just the farms. Everyone's distracted by the farms. We've got to look in the face, the eyes.
Yeah, look in my eyes. Look in my eyes.
Reece Walsh.
Reece Walsh is up there. Now, I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say he's the most improved. Thoughts?
Right. I'll find out exactly what he finished last year, and we'll see if he can make the top 10. But, yeah, Reece Walsh, he wasn't in it last year. He will be the bolter. If he doesn't make top 10, I might have to shut it down.
Can you throw coaches in? I think I asked you this early on in the year. Can you throw coaches in? Because T-Baz, wow.
He's looking... It's Barrett and then Daylight second, I think.
Matty Daylight. No, I'll tell you who's looking pretty fit. Fitzy.
Oh, yeah. The bald head does it for you, does he?
No, he doesn't do it for me, but I'm just saying he should be included.
Yep.
He's a fit hombre. He could do triathlons. I'm just having a look at Ryan Madison's Instagram, and there's not a lot of coverage of the upper body region on many of these photos.
No, I think that's he wasn't doing quite as much as this last year, so I think that's going to push him up. Dino, the Roasted podcast, who have you got coming up?
This afternoon, spoken with Jackson Hastings.
Oh, yeah.
So he talks about his transition back to the NRL and his first couple of weeks at the Tigers, his first impressions, basically.
Yeah.
He talks extensively about the Tiger Town, his views on that as an outsider, and then coming into the squad and some of the standouts, some of the young guns coming through, and some of the players that looking to have a big year. So really great chat with Jackson. Looking forward to it this afternoon.
Where did you ask him where he's been training at? What position?
Number six.
Okay.
Or in the halves there. So he'll be until Adam Dewey comes back from injury. Then they'll have a decision to make. But yeah, he's been told he'll play in that number six position.
I went past Concord yesterday. It is looking very, very good. Once it's done, it's going to be spectacular.
The new centre of excellence.
The new centre of excellence.
So where did that phrase come from? Who came up with that? Who coined it?
It's surely an American term. Surely an American term.
What if you had like a centre of mediocrity?
Mm. Or like the studio.
Yeah. Or centre of like rankness. Like my
centre
bedroom.
Of A-graders.
Like my bedroom. All right, Dino. Thank you very much, mate. Have a good weekend. And thank you very much for your efforts throughout the year. Your social media follow. If Joel was here, he could just, off the top of his head, know how many followers you got because he loves all that sort of stuff. But thanks so much for joining Drive with Joel and Fletch. Have a good Chrissy.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on. Nice to speak to Adam for the first time, and Merry Christmas to all the group there.
Dino, thanks, mate. Dean Messiter from the NRL Roast.
He gets some stud 100. Do you want some stud 100?
Is he still there?
Dino?
Yeah, I'll take it.
There it is.
Thanks, bud.
Making things better all night long.
I'm going out with a bang, boy. It's going to burn.
What? Dean Messiter from the NRL Roast.